Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the online version of the Jewish Activist Network. We continue now with a very interesting story, and that story is... Hold it, we'll be with you in just one second. And that story is what happened with the JFS. That's a school in London. It's a Jewish school. And that particular school has Jewish students, and they determined who is Jewish by the determination of the chief rabbi, who is Orthodox, Rabbi Sachs. And they did that apparently for many years, probably goes back a number of years, decades probably, if not longer, determining who's Jewish. And there was a student whose mother is Catholic, and she was converted by a non-Orthodox, if I can call it Beistines, non-Orthodox process. The group there in London is called Progressive. The Jews there affiliated with that are called Progressive. That's what the way they identify themselves. And so the school rejected the child. And the father brought a lawsuit. The father brought a lawsuit to the court and eventually went up to the Supreme Court in Great Britain. And I was reading some articles on this. Apparently the Supreme Court in Great Britain is a relatively new development. They came down with this ruling that there are racism laws in England. There are laws on the books, and they decided that this school is in violation of those racism laws. Now they did add on apparently, and it was a split decision in the Supreme Court, and they did add on that they weren't saying that what the school did was immoral. They weren't saying that it was not immoral, and they weren't saying that it was racist in quote the pejorative unquote sense of the word, whatever that means. In other words, in the way that the word might be used as an epithet against somebody still the word is out that the headlines scream that the Jewish school was racist. And as we mentioned on the air, it's kind of an interesting development, being that Rabbi Meir Kahana was originally put out of the Knesset because of, quote-unquote, his racism. So now they pick up on that. In the United States we would call that like yelling fire in a crowded theater to go ahead and say that a Jewish school is racist. But that's what the Supreme Court went ahead and did in England. So it's an interesting development because... It's an interesting development because, as Rabbi David Eidenson has sometimes pointed out on the air here, that when a decision is made in Europe, it can influence the courts of the United States. Because starting back also a number of decades here in the United States, the courts have taken a point of view that they're not always going to decide decisions by the letter of the law. They're going to take into account the fact that the public has certain feelings and sentiments, and when the judges in the United States, not all judges do this, but a number of them do, and even on the U.S. Supreme Court, the judges have decided that when they make a decision, especially one that involves a social issue, which I guess this would fall under, this topic, that they're going to use the sentiments of the people. And Rabbi Eidenson has pointed out that not only do they use the sentiments of people in the United States, but he points to a court decision, I think it was in New York State, where they now use the sentiments, worldwide sentiments, including those of the feelings of people in Europe. So that when a court made, in fact, the specific case that he mentions is that a court made a decision in England, and then the United States, one of the courts in New York State, took that into account when they made one of their decisions. So if the Supreme Court in England can say about a Jewish school in London that school is racist under the racism laws in England, because they didn't allow in someone who is not halachically Jewish, then there's a danger. There's a slippery slope here. There's a danger that some court in the United States might pick up on that also. I'm sorry. Do we have a caller here? It's not coming in. All right. So the point I'm trying to make is that it's an interesting development that the government even gets involved even gets involved in a place like England, it gets involved in deciding who is a Jew. Now, I did a little research on this, and it may not be quite the case as it appears at first blush. There are two things to take into account. The first thing to take into account is this school actually had a policy already of admitting kids who are not halakhically Jewish. What the school actually was doing was prioritizing kids who are halakhically Jewish and giving them the priority for getting into the school. If there's a certain number of openings in the school, in a class, in a grade, whatever it is, they can only take a certain number of children. So they went ahead and they decided that those who are halakhically Jewish would have the higher priority. And the second thing to take into account is that this is a state-supported school. Basically, according to my reading that I did a little bit, it seemed to indicate what I was reading, that they don't have what would be called in the United States separation of church and state. In England, they have state-supported schools that are religious schools, and this was one of them. So that made the case even more interesting, because we were talking just now that Rabbi Idenson has said that court cases that are used in England can be affect court cases in the United States. And here's a case of a Supreme Court in England deciding who is a Jew, or actually telling a school that it may not make that decision. That's more of what it was. It was telling the school that it may not make a decision of who is a Jew, and to do so would be racist. That in and of itself is interesting. But it also indicates another thing that Rabbi Idenson has brought up, I think, which is that once Jewish schools start taking money from the state, all kinds of things happen that aren't good. He's written in his books, and he's mentioned, he's written in a book that he has, and he's mentioned that we don't want to give zchus, we don't want to give a merit to Esav, which is a way of describing the non-Jewish governments sometime. We don't want to give our Torah learning, it should be pure. Like we were mentioning on Hanukkah, the Hashmonim didn't have to use the purest oil. They didn't have to search out for the purest oil. They could have used oil which was impure. Strictly speaking, according to the halacha, at that point in time, they were allowed to use impure oil, but they were only looking for the purest. And when Jewish schools take money from governments for Jewish studies, so then it's not the purest kind of Torah learning, and it's giving some of the merit of that Torah learning is being shared with Edom. And according to Rabbi Idenson, Edom Esav yearns for that share in the Torah, that piece in the Torah. And we see what happened, how it kind of spun out of control here, that the school started taking the money from the government and tried to finesse the whole thing maybe by admitting all kids, but just prioritizing those who are halakhically Jewish, and it ended up with a Supreme Court decision, and it ended up with a headline. It ended up with a headline, and that's not a good thing. And if we step back again, I'll mention something that we mentioned on the air, which I said earlier, which should be emphasized, and that is that it kind of harkens back to what happened with Rabbi Meir Kahana, that he was called a racist. All right? And once you had, it's not that the nations of the world didn't call us racist, but somehow when Jew called Jew racist, when, again, this battle of Hanukkah, Jew against Jew, when the Jews who were in the Knesset turned on Rabbi Meir Kahana and called him a racist and pushed him out of the Knesset, so that also brought in, so to speak, brought in the influences of the war, of the non-Jewish world. And I can't say there's a direct line connection between something like that and what's going on now with the Supreme Court case in England, but it certainly has enough of an echo of it that it's a concern. So the question came up here, what do we do about it? What do we do about this kind of a situation? So I would say the answer is we have to get involved, and I think the first step in getting involved is to get uninvolved. That is, as Rabbi Idenson has pointed out, the schools have to first and foremost stop taking government money. Now, I can't say there's never a place for government money. I had a discussion with this, long, extended discussions with this with Rabbi Idenson, Because to see what the Rabbanim, say Rabbi Cutler, Reb Aaron of Lakewood, what the Rabbanim said, and we'll get back to that in just a minute. But I think the most important point is that that there, from my own perspective, which I'll talk about first, and then we'll speak about what the Rabbanim were saying. I just want to put forth my own feelings, as, where I was coming from where my understanding, is that if the government puts a burden on Jewish schools. For example, it says that if you want to have a Jewish school in the United States, or say in any given state, then what you have to do is teach mathematics, teach science, and so on, and teach literature, and so on. All things which may have a place and a value, even from a Jewish perspective. But when the state starts saying, here are our books, here's our curriculum, you have to use it. Excuse me. So then the state has put a burden on a Jewish school, and I don't see anything wrong then with the school turning around and saying, all right, you're going to tell us we have to teach math. We may have decided to teach math. We may not have. And now that you told us to, what curriculum we have to use, so okay, so pay for it. If you want us to teach it, so you have to pay for it. I personally would not have any difficulty with a school paying for something like that, for paying for the textbooks, for example. For the government paying, giving money to the schools, and from a Jewish school accepting that money from the government for the textbooks. But when schools turn around and start taking money from the government for Jewish studies, that I think then falls into that opens up the door for a lot of things. It first and foremost, it opens the door for the government involvement in the Jewish schools more than just giving textbooks. And they can then begin dictating about discrimination laws, racism, this and that. The second thing is that it gives that zchus, that merit to Esav, to Edom, which we don't want to give them. And maybe worse, probably the worst thing of all, is that because the bureaucracy involved with taking government money, you know, the forms that have to be filled out, the conditions that have to be met, it opens the door for chas v'shalom, for somebody, maybe some school somewhere, stepping over the line and maybe fudging things a little bit in the way they fill out the forms. And that in and of itself then would be then stealing. And that would be wrong. So there are like three things that can go wrong with taking the money. When I'm saying taking money for Jewish studies from a government, a Jewish school, taking it from a non-Jewish government. First, it gives them a merit, and it opens the door possibly for gonev hadas, for misleading people, or even chas v'shalom, worse, stealing from the government. And I would say those are really the two main ones right there. So what happened now in England? Let's get back to that. I don't think, you know, for years, for decades, who knows how long, maybe hundreds of years, the government in England has been supporting Jewish schools. But once the school took that money, so then it kind of led to this opening here of Jew against Jew, where one Jew said, take my kid, I think consider him Jewish, and the school says, no, he's not halachically Jewish, and it ends up where? In a non-Jewish court. It kind of harkens back for me. Again, let's focus on the main topic here. It harkens back to what happened with Hanukkah, that it was ultimately a battle of Jew against Jew to decide what does it mean to be a Jew. Will it be that anybody can decide for themselves what it means to be Jewish? Who is a Jew? Anybody can decide for themselves what halacha is? That halacha then becomes, that Jewish tradition then becomes subservient to the state? Because that's obviously what this parent did, who allied himself with this so-called progressive movement. He basically said, yeah, I'm a Jew, but if I want to decide, if I have a conflict with another Jew, where do I go? Do I go to a basting? No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the Supreme Court of the non-Jewish government of the country I'm living in. I'm going to be part of that. I'm going to use that process. That's really what Hanukkah was all about, this kind of a cultural war between Jews who would identify themselves as Jewish, but maybe just as culturally Jewish, if I could use that term, against those such as Matisyahu and his sons and the Hashmonaim, who stuck to what it means to be halachically Jewish, only wanted to do things in the best and most pure and ideal way, and decided to take up arms and to fight for that, and to fight the ultimate battle for Yerushalayim and for the Beis Hamikdash. Our number here, if anybody wants to call in, I see we have a number of listeners. I'm grateful to everyone listening. The number here is 718 769-0921, 718-569-0921. I think I have one of the articles here, and if we don't get any callers, maybe I'll just read the article. For those of you who didn't see it, there were a few articles. No, actually, I didn't save it here on the computer here. So let me go over it again for those who are tuning in late. A Jewish school in London decided that they wanted to prioritize who comes into their school, who will have the who will be enrolled in their school, and they gave the highest priority to children who are halachically Jewish, that is, children who the chief rabbi, who's Orthodox in England, has decided are Jewish. And for those who may not be familiar who are tuning in, someone is considered to be Jewish if their mother is Jewish, or if their mother had an Orthodox conversion before they were born, or if they themselves had an Orthodox conversion. An Orthodox conversion basically means that Orthodox Jews sit down and make a decision that the person is sincere in their desire to be Jewish. According to my understanding, it's more involved than what I'm saying. Person is sincere, and then the person goes to the mikvah and becomes a Jew in every sense of the word. They are considered to be a Jew, as a full Jew. And if it's a man, he also requires a circumcision. That's what it means to be halachically Jewish. And the chief rabbi in England decided that this particular student, who, according to the court documents, they don't give the name of him or his father, but his initial was M, like an M as in Michael, and his mother was Catholic, as she was brought up, as, I guess, identifying as Catholic, and she went through some conversion process, but not the one that I described. Not with Orthodox Jews making the decision. And the school decided not to take this particular child, and the Supreme Court went ahead and said the school is racist. It's a loaded term. And I pointed out that it's a little more subtle, a little more complex, the case, because the school does receive state funding. You don't have this concept, as there is in the United States, of separation of church and state. And on top of that, the school in the past had actually accepted these kind of children who were not halachically Jewish. And that's the case, which ultimately comes back to Hanukkah, which is Jew against Jew in this particular case. In the broadest sense, what was this case about? It was about a Jew having a conflict with a machlokus, if I can use that term, with a Jewish school. And instead of trying to work it out between themselves or go to the Beis Din, what this Jew did is he ended up going to the non-Jewish government and putting the conflict in the open, and possibly affecting many others, because it made it very clear from the articles that once this decision was brought down by the Supreme Court in Great Britain, they would now require an evaluation by other schools, Jewish and non-Jewish schools, about how they're going to admit children. And ultimately, according to Rabbi David Idenson, this can affect us here in the United States, because U.S. courts have already shown a predilection to using decisions of courts, say, in London, to influence their decisions here in the United States. If a case like this would come up in the United States, and a parallel or similar case might come up, that court case might actually be used here in the United States, and chas v'shalom, we might end up seeing decisions brought down like that in the United States, that somehow a school which has decided that it will not accept a child who is not halachically Jewish, that the school decides it will only accept Jewish children according to halacha, that the state might say something like, well, that child has to be accepted, or the school will lose its tax-exempt status. Because to that extent, I would think many, if not most, Jewish schools in the United States do have some sort of tax-exempt status. That doesn't mean taking money from the government. It harkens back to the case of what Yosef did, as we see in these parshas we're reading these weeks, that Yosef decided that when he put the tax on the Egyptians, that he did not include the clergy, did not include the religious leaders in Egypt. And that's come down till today, that religious institutions, religious organizations, and so on, have tax-exempt status. But it could happen that, chas v'shalom, that a court could decide, because a school only accepts halachically Jewish children, that the school will lose its tax-exempt status. This is the danger. And what we can do about it is to, first of all, speak about it, to decide what we can do, invite people to be part of the discussion. Again, our number here, 718-569-0921. And I guess what we can also do is try to pull ourselves back from any kind of involvement with the government. Right, it brings it down, Mishnah and Avos, not to be too much involved with the government, not to be too friendly with the government, not to be too connected with the government. That's what the Mishnah teaches us. And at the same time, we can strengthen ourselves as a Jewish community by taking up the Battle of Hanukkah and reaching out to our fellow Jews. Because somewhere along the line, with this case in Great Britain, somewhere along the line, this man who brought this court case on behalf of his son, I would guess it's likely he didn't get the Jewish education that the way it should have been. I can't say for sure. I haven't met the man, but many cases like this, just people have not received enough of a Jewish education. And in the 10 minutes or so that we have left, maybe I'll talk about cases from my own life where we see the assimilation and the harm that it can do when people who are not halachically Jewish come into contact with the Jewish community and all the dangers involved. One case I can mention is somebody that I met who had actually gone to a seminary in Eretz Yisrael, but she was aware that she wasn't halachically Jewish. At the same time, her father was Jewish, and her mother had a so-called Reform conversion. And that led to difficulties or challenges in her life. Another one was a friend of mine. I was working with him. As far as I knew, he was Jewish. But he confided in me that he had applied for yeshiva in Israel. And in this case, the yeshiva said, no, we won't accept you because your mother is not halachically Jewish. His mother had had a conservative, so-called conservative conversion. He had always considered himself Jewish. He had been going to Orthodox. When starting in college, he had been involved in Orthodox shuls and organizations. And he had become more observant, not realizing that he wasn't Jewish. And this was a shock to him to have somebody simply lay it on him and say, no, you're not Jewish. It was maybe the first time that he had encountered this. And it hurt him a lot, because his mother, I think, also considered herself Jewish. She always considered herself Jewish. And it hurt him, I believe, to think of his mother in those terms, or that other people would think of his mother as not Jewish. In the end, I arranged for him to have a Orthodox conversion, which he went through with. Another case is one case of my own students. I taught in schools where this came up repeatedly. And there's a lot of harm that's done when we don't clarify it for ourselves. And just even now, I have a student from the beginning. I thought maybe the mother wasn't Jewish. I contacted the father and I asked what the Beis Din is. He's going to send me the information, but it seems clear that the mother had some conversion, but not an Orthodox conversion. And now I have this student that this is for tutoring, and I'm not pushing the kid away, because according to my understanding, that the idea that there's a conversion that you push with one hand, pull with the other, that kind of idea, that's not done when the father is Jewish, because the kid can make a claim, some claim to wanting to be a Jew or being Jewish, even though he's not halakhically considered Jewish. And therefore, I'm trying to deal with it and trying to work with this young man who is actually an Eloi. It's a wonderful student, Blian Hara. A genius, if I could use that word. I don't know if that's an overused word. So just say he's a top student, a young man. A top student. All kinds of dangers that come about. Like, another one is the case of the fellow Cohen, who is Secretary of Defense, what was it, under a couple administrations back. His name was Cohen. I heard this story, and here's what happened was that he was a top student in a Jewish school in Maine. In fact, he won the award for being one of the top students. He was like the valedictorian in one of his classes. But they wouldn't allow him to graduate, even though he's chosen to be valedictorian, and he was, you know, it hurt him a lot. And somebody contacted him once, I think his Rebbe, you know, when he was now in power as Secretary of Defense, and people wanted to call on him to help the Jewish people living in Israel. And he told the story that he took that award that he got as being one of the top students, and he threw it in the river, and he mentioned the name of the river. That's how much it hurt him and how much he remembered it so clearly so many years later. There's so much damage that we do when we don't reach out and teach Judaism in its purest way. When we don't want to fudge anything, if I could use that term. And that's what the Hashmonim stood for. That's what we can stand for, is that we want to be the Jewish people in the best and in the purest way. And that's why they searched out that pure oil. And that's why the miracle came through the pure oil. It was as if to say Hashem was putting his stamp of approval on the wars that the Hashmonim fought. His stamp of approval and saying, yes, those wars you fought and the miracles that were done, that was all my doing, as we say in the Ala Nisim. That these are the things Hashem did. And with God's help, we too should try to do our activities in the purest way. And it's my hope, my tefillah, my prayer, that that's what this radio show is all about. The half hour that we broadcast from 12:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. on WSNR, AM 620. And the online show that we have, I'm grateful again to all of those listening in. We're going to wind it down here a few minutes early. But generally we'll be on from 1 to 1:30 a.m. Wednesday night going into Thursday morning. I want to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah. Please be in touch with us if you want to be involved or you want to speak with us. Our phone number on the air and off the air, not for tonight, but call us tomorrow or during the week at any time. Leave a message if we don't pick up. And the number here is 718-569-0921. Our website, jewishactivistnetwork.com. If you can, if you mention to your friends about our show, and we'll pick up again on this next week, Wednesday night, 12:30 a.m. Thank you again for tuning in. Happy Hanukkah.